From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of October, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. The state statisticians yesterday released the weekly crop progress report. That's a day late because of Columbus Day and the holiday. At the national level, we'll hear from them. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast around the planet, especially what's happening in South America and the weather there with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today up 5 1/4 cents, settled at $3.96 1/2. The March at 4.02 1/2, 3 1/4 higher, and May at 4.05 up 2. July 4.06 1/4, 3/4 higher, and December corn of next year down 1 1/4 cents, settled at $3.93 3/4. November beans 12 1/4 higher today, finished at $10.56 1/4. The January 10.57 1/4 up 10 1/4, in the March up 5 1/4 cents at $10.42 1/2. July 10.42 up 3 1/2, and next year's November's at $9.76 for the soybeans, up 1/4 cent. The bean oil futures unchanged today. The bean meal down a dime. They finished at $3.58.40. July soft red winter wheat 2 1/4 higher, $5.95 a bushel. The settlement price, the hard red at $5.56 3/4, up 4 1/4. Live cattle futures October contract down 45 cents at $108.37 1/2 per 100 pounds. December there at $110.27 1/2 for the live cattle, down 95. And feeders were up 25 cents at the end of the day to settle at $138.37 1/2 in the October. November down 50 at $136.32 1/2. Lean hog $78.42 1/2, 62 1/2 cents higher. December at $68.42 1/2, up $2.27 1/2. Crude oil for the day, $41.01 a barrel, up 80 cents. Ethanol futures around $0.01 1/2 higher at $1.43 a gallon. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.19 1/10. That's 2 2/10 higher. And gasoline on the RBOB wholesale price at $1.19 7/10 cents per gallon. That's $0.01 1/2 higher for the day. Natural gas at $2.63 6/10, down 21 9/10 for the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average about 146 points lower. The dollar down 0.156, and gold up $18.40 for the day. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing now joins us to take a look at what's happened in the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Volatility has been the thing we've seen in particularly the bean market, and today that continues, at least at mostly is volatility to the upside, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the algorithmic guys are back in a big, big way. And so, you know, the market being down 30 yesterday, now we're up, you know, we're up in the 10s, 11s today. We're all over the place. You just don't know, you know, you're just not quite sure what's going to happen. But it's being driven by the South American weather market. There's no question about that. And the shortages that appear to be that are going to happen because they're of the late planting. And so I have some information on that as we go along here. I want to update you. I talked to Dr. Cordonier today to get the latest on Brazil and Argentina weather and what is happening down there. So
we'll get to that in just a moment. I do have a couple of things, though. Both are technical. I'd like you to go through the support and resistance as we normally do. And then the other item, and I don't know whether you will have watched this very closely, but market depth early on in the digital trade. Market depth sometimes was there, and then it would just suddenly disappear, and we all thought that was kind of black box or algorithm trade. I was wondering whether that is continuing to happen.
It has slowed down some. Yesterday it was certainly there. There's no question. Today it didn't appear to be here nearly as much. And I think it's just because we haven't moved as much. And so, you know, the big thing I think a lot of us kind of didn't think about was Columbus Day. And that, therefore, all of the USDA reports are delayed by a day. So yesterday, you know, or Monday, we did not have crop progress like we normally do. We didn't have export inspections like we normally do. You know, and so that stuff all came into the marketplace yesterday. And that just makes a difference in how the market looks at things. And so it's also looking at the outside markets. You know, it's looking at what China's doing. what their grain traits are doing. There's just so many factors that drive everything that happens here.
How about those support and resistance levels?
Well, December corn, we've got support at 387, resistance at 406 with a crossover on the trend lines at 380. March, 393 for support, 411 for resistance, 418 is the crossover point. We look on January beans, 1016 support, 1077 resistance, crossovers at 1031. March, 1020 support, 1090 resistance, crossover at 1046. Dow Jones, same as last week, 2688 for support and 29568 for resistance. The dollar, same thing there, 9206 for support and 9465 for resistance.
You know, this week and yesterday's report, and we'll hear more about that in just a bit, the USDA said 41% of the corn crop had been harvested across the nation. For the soybean, the harvest now at 61%, so we're more than halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does that make?
Well, it makes a huge difference. I mean, from the standpoint that I can't remember that many times in my farm background or in here where we're going to probably finish up bean harvest prior to the end of the month of October. You know, that just doesn't seem very possible. But, you know, we've had just ideal weather, and it definitely has an impact on the marketplace from the standpoint that everything's coming in. Farmers have been pretty aggressive sellers as far as beans go. A lot of beans being sold across the scale. And so, you know, it's just a different scenario than we've seen in quite a long time. The corn part of it is, you know, you look at where we are corn-wise. Well, of course, they're being aggressive on beans. Bean prices are great. Corn prices are not bad, but they're just kind of lumbering along. And so, therefore, I think that, you know, once we get through with the beans, corn harvest is going to just fly, too, unless we have weather issues.
Hey, can you go back through for me your thought processes? Yes, last Friday's USDA report was released, and what those fundamentals mean to the marketplace, even as we continue to surge a bit higher for beans.
Well, you know, I think it was very interesting. You know, we looked at the planted and harvested acres go down both on corn and beans. Yields for corn dropped just a tenth of a bushel. Yields for beans stayed exactly the same. And so what that says to me is when you look at the marketplace, we're not necessarily trading the U.S. numbers. We're trading the perception that we're going to continue to have really strong exports because of what's going on down in South America. Especially, you know, you looked at the bean price did jump 55 cents on average for the cash gate price for 2021. Corn only went up a dime and wheat went up 20. So, you know, in general, what that's just saying is that there's opportunity here right now, but to average 980 on beans, let's say, you've got to have much higher sales or much lower sales. And so I think that when you looked at the overall report, it was a good report. There's no question about that. But it certainly says to us that we're very dependent on things going on down in South America right now and continuing to have China buy in this market from an export standpoint.
And can you review that 2 weeks out from the report, what the changes have been historically like?
Well, when you look at corn, 2 weeks out, this is the third most likely report to be negative. And when it's negative, it's been just down 12 cents on corn. When it's been positive, it's been up 33. So there's been a lot of shifting around that goes on this particular report. And when you look at beans, when it's positive, it's been 32, negative, down 52. And so, you know, from that perspective, I guess we'd have to say that it just tells you there's an awfully wide range here of potential. I mean, that's an 84-cent range on beans and a 45-cent range on corn. So those are pretty tough when you come right down to it. They're going to take a dart and throw it at the wall and say, well, is this what the price is going to be? We're just so heavily influenced right now by the potential for rain or potential for no rain down in South America. And you have to be careful. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Be careful not to get so tied up in the bullish side of this market and just look at it strictly from a business perspective.
What do we know about Brazil, Argentina at this time? I think I saw something about the peso again today from Argentina, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are widespread rumors circulating that the peso is going to be devalued. And Argentina's Fernandez came out and said, no devaluation is coming. The very same thing the old president said right before they devalued the peso the last time. But he is conceding that the lack of tourism due to COVID and farmers not selling is really causing issues on how many taxes the government's collecting. You know, they generously lowered the export tax by 3% because they thought that was going to get farmers to sell. And he admitted it's not working. So we're looking at a situation that I've seen many times over all these years. Argentinians are taking U.S. dollars out of the banks, and they're trading pesos for dollars on the black market. I mean, they actually have what they call a black cave market for trading U.S. dollars for pesos. And even though it's totally illegal, it's even published in the newspaper what the exchange rate is. I think it's so ironic. But it definitely reminds me of the last time that Argentina went through a crisis like this. You know, I know you've heard me say it so many times over the years when we were in this situation where there are more Argentinians sleeping on the faces of U.S. presidents than on mattresses, because they've just stuffed their mattresses totally full of U.S. dollars. You know, they're at least being more proactive this time, it seems like, Todd. In other words, they're not waiting. They're out there and they're doing it, because they've just gotten killed so many times by believing what the government was telling them.
Anything else from South America, or do you want to talk a little bit about China?
Well, I want to talk about Brazil. I called Dr. Cordonier this morning because I thought I'm going to see once for everybody who's listening what the latest is on the weather down there. And he said the rains over the weekends. Now, this is in contrast to what we've been hearing. We're a half inch to an inch and a half over about 50% of the planting area. And he said, you know, if guys got 3/4 of an inch, they're planting. So there's more rain in the forecast, and Doc said it's just like this every year as the rainy season starts. You know, you have to kind of prime the pump with the light rains to get things going. So Mato Grosso is 2 to 3 weeks behind on planting. And he said the bigger concern is going to be, you know, rather than planting, of course, is pod filling and what the weather might be there because of this La Nina situation. So we've been saying all along, late planting, you know, is presenting two issues: a delayed start to the export season, you know, that could be or has been a positive to the U.S. bean market, and the safrinha corn is going to be affected dramatically because it needs to be, ideally, they need to have their beans planted by October 25th so that they can get the safrinha corn in the ground at the right time, because if they don't, it's going to deal with extreme heat during pollination. And on top of that, you know, we've talked about how BR-163 is finally finished. Well, guess what's happening now? Now we have indigenous tribes sitting on the highway, women and children and everything, because they want to be heard, let's put it that way, because they are very against all the gold mining that's going on the reserves and everything else. And so they would let trucks pass for 1 hour a day. And even after a judge ordered them to get off, they sat for 6 days and finally did get off. But it's like one thing on top of another for the guys down there. It's just amazing.
And finally, anything from China before we wrap it up?
Yep. Well, China futures hit record highs today. And I'm going to preface this right away, guys. Don't get jump up and down excited and think we're going here, okay? At 980 a bushel, that's up 14% since September. So they were at 860 before this rally started. Because the investors are betting on the damage to the corn crop from the typhoon, I went back and looked. We're up 14% on our corn futures prices also since September. So we really got to be careful to think that we're going through the roof because of where China's prices are. China continues to need beans and corn. We saw sales today of 16.5 million bushels of corn to them and 9.7 million bushels of beans for delivery in 2021. So, you know, as long as we continue to have that type of performance, we're great. But, you know, let's take a step back. Doc said when they look at the forecast down there, it just continues to appear to be getting better. So once they really hit the ground, then we got to kind of, you know, then the exports have to continue to really be strong to keep feeding this bull.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vex is with Total Farm Marketing from Hollister, Missouri. Joined us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, if you're in the combine, be careful out there. I know you've been working really hard the last several days, and frankly, it's probably felt a little bit like it's February the 2nd or Groundhog Day every day because they look the same and you've not had a break. Even with that little bitty rain, you probably have not had a break. So you need to take some time for yourself. Try to get that 8 hours of sleep. But right now, you know, shut the machine off. Listen to the program. If you fall asleep, that's fine. You can come back and listen to it after the fact on the website at willag.org. But take a nap. 20 minutes will do you good. That's what the farm safety specialists say. Take time for yourself right now and get that 20-minute nap. The other thing is, and I've been saying this for a while now, I know now 5 people who have had COVID. All have recovered. However, it took about 3 weeks for all of them, and they're all really tired. You don't want that to happen. Mask up when you're with somebody who is not living in your household. As Jackie and I mentioned yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the delayed weekly crop progress report because of Columbus Day on Monday. USDA now says 94% of the corn crop around the nation has matured, 41% has been harvested, the condition of the crop 46% good, and 15% excellent. 93% of the soybeans are dropping leaves, 90% is the rolling 5-year average. The 5-year average for harvest is 42%, however, this year moving much quicker than usual at 61% harvested across the nation. And the condition of the soybean crop is 49% good and 14% excellent. For comparison, last year those numbers were 45% good and 9% excellent. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa farmers had nearly a full week to harvest their crops with 6.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending October 11, 2020. Field activities again included baling corn stalks, applying fertilizer and manure, and fall tillage. Corn reached 97% mature or beyond, over 3 weeks ahead of the previous year and 10 days ahead of the 5-year average. Corn for grain harvested in the state reached 42%, over 3 weeks ahead of last year and almost 2 weeks ahead of average. Moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain was at 18%, corn condition rated 44% good to excellent. Nearly one quarter of Iowa's soybean crop was harvested during the week ending October 11th, with 78% now harvested, over 3 weeks ahead of last year and over 2 weeks ahead of average. Farmers in south central Iowa remain considerably behind farmers in the rest of the state, with just 38% of their crop harvested. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Steve Parn with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield. The only measurable precipitation occurred along the eastern and southern edges of the state. Corn mature was 95% compared to the 5-year average of 92%. Corn harvested for grain was 45% complete compared to the 5-year average of 53%. Soybeans dropping leaves was at 95% compared to the 5-year average of 90%. Soybean harvest was 56% complete compared to the 5-year average of 50%. Winter wheat planted was at 46% compared to the 5-year average of 34%. Winter wheat emerged was at 15% compared to the 5-year average of 9%. Pasture and range condition rated 8% very poor, 20% poor, 37% fair, 34% good, and 1% excellent. This has been Steve Parn with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Lofta, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with a weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending October 11, 2020. Unseasonably warm and dry conditions advanced harvest progress during the week. There were 6.5 days suitable for field work, the most of any week this year. Field activities included fall tillage, harvesting corn for grain, soybeans, potatoes, sugar beets, sunflowers, and dry beans. Corn for grain had reached maturity on 98% of acres, that's 20 days ahead of last year and 12 days ahead of the 5-year average. The corn for grain harvest was 34% complete. That's 20 days ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 19%. Corn condition remained at 81%, good to excellent. One quarter of Minnesota soybean crop was harvested during the week ending October 11th, with totaling 87% now harvested. That's 4 weeks ahead of last year and 17 days ahead of average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. We're now joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's get right into the weather forecast. Did they get any rain in Brazil?
No, not yet. Nothing that's great enough to write home to mom about, let's put it that way. A few showers have scattered around, but we're still waiting for some kind of meaningful event to take place. And the more I look at this, the more I'm convinced that, well, meaningful is going to be really difficult to come by. We're going to have some scattered showers, but a lot of areas are going to come up rather empty-handed with a sustainable moisture boost that's really going to stimulate a much better planting and emergence environment. That's true for this first week of the outlook. I think when we get into the second week, we might do a little bit better. But how many weeks now we've been saying that? So we have to be a little bit careful. I do think, though, conditions will gradually get better as we get closer to the end of the month. But it is not going to come right away.
They're 3 or 4 weeks behind in their planting at this point. What does that do for the whole of the growing season?
Well, of course, it actually doesn't hurt the soybean production potential itself, because once the rains kick in and it's all driven by monsoonal precipitation, usually the rain is just more than sufficient to take the crop through the finish line. So it's all about what happens down the road after we get this crop harvested. The safrinha crops, the corn and the cotton that come in behind it, they're obviously going to be late being planted, so that reproduction is going to be occurring at a time of the year which is traditionally drier biased. So they could come up short-handed on some corn and cotton production because of these delays we've seen over the past few weeks. And of course, that assumes there's not going to be any more delay, whether it's planting delays on the front end or whether it's harvest delays on the back end of the soybean crop. We still could be seeing more threat to some of those safrinha crops.
Anything here in the United States we should be watching?
Well, we're still watching hard red winter wheat country. Of course, it's way too dry across the west central and southwest plains, and there really isn't a great deal of moisture coming up anytime soon. I do think there'll be some showers on the northern and eastern fringes of wheat country, but I think that is not obviously going to occur where it's needed most. Some of the models have been trying to make it rain a little bit more potentially in the second week of the outlook, especially after day 10. I'm not ready to buy into that. I think the models are just trying a little too hard to make it rain. There's also dryness in the lower Midwest right now in some of the soft wheat areas there from coming out of Missouri into Indiana. We're going to see rain come up for those folks, though, and I think there will be adequate relief to get that crop up and running in a better manner than it is up to this point.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.